Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm a local minister at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you become a regular listener each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you know God and to have a relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. We also have a television program that airs from 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6, entitled The Message of Truth. Please give it a look. Let us know what you think. And please come and visit us at each and every opportunity. Today, we are going to begin a very lengthy series in a very important subject. The subject that we are going to discuss affects every one of you in the listening audience. Every man, every woman, young, old, middle age, it makes no difference. This is a subject that has meaning to all of us. It is a very serious subject, but one that I'm afraid is greatly misunderstood and not taken very seriously by many in the religious world and especially by those in the world in general. But I want to assure you that this is a very needful subject, and I hope that you will pay attention and that you will follow along as we introduce our subject in this first set of lessons. It seems today that many people are in a state of confusion about this thing called sin. Some seem to think that it cannot be correctly labeled, and it's difficult to label anything as really being sin. Does the Bible talk about this word? Sin is a small word that begins a very long sentence. The word is used 447 times in 388 verses of the sacred scriptures. The Bible so strongly rests on the fact of sin, that if this fact could be proven to be false, the entire divine story would be nothing more than legend and myth. This would make the Bible and the story which it tells have neither truth, nor meaning, nor power, or to have any need for men to study it. But such is not the case. Sin is a very real thing. President Calvin Coolidge's wife asked him once about what sermon the preacher had presented when he went to church services. What did he preach on? Sin, Coolidge responded. What did the preacher say about it? She wanted to know. He was against it, Coolidge replied. Many chuckle over this little story, but I want to suggest to you this morning that sin is no laughing matter. We begin this series on a very important subject, which is unheeded, will cause many souls to be deceived and finally to be ultimately destroyed in the devil's hell because they fell prey and lived and conducted themselves in sin. I'm against sin in my life and in all men's life who are accountable before God because it will cause them to be lost for all eternity. Let there be no mistake about this one point as we begin this series. God is against sin in every form, in every fashion, and in every degree. No matter what justification, rationalization, or what good reason you might think in your mind that sin is trivial, or it's not that bad, or really doesn't matter if you commit it, you need to understand that God is very much against it. The Bible depicts sin as a very terrible thing. We're going to begin this morning by reading a lengthy reading in Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal and sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I would do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me there is my flesh nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I would do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. For I delight in the law according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. A wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You see, it is a war that goes on between our mind. And the battleground for supremacy is in our mind. It is between good and evil, right and wrong, sin or righteousness. Whoever gets control of the mind gets control of the action that will lead us into sin and will separate us from God. Is sin just a violation of civil law for which one may be arrested and even prosecuted? No, it is a treacherous act of rebellion in our hearts against our Creator. Never forget, all sin, no matter what it may be, is first and foremost against our Creator. It is against God. It is a deceptive enemy. Sin is an enemy to our soul. We need to be warned about the way in which we do not fall into sin's snare to take us away from God. All sin is of the devil, according to 1 John 3 and verse 8. And our Lord came to destroy the work of the devil. It is a deceptive enemy. It is ever changing its name, its snares, its traps, its sets for man. Nothing that you will deal with in this life is more deadly than sin. Maybe we have grown accustomed to it, sort of like the fellow who lives next to the railroad tracks and hears the train run every night, and in the beginning it bothers him, but over time he gets used to it and then he doesn't even hear it. I'm afraid that that's what's happened about sin. We've grown so accustomed to it, we've grown so used to it, that we don't see the danger in it, and we don't recognize it for what it is. Sin has been reformed in a sugar-coated, bright red package with a gold ribbon on top of it by the devil to make it appear to be harmless, but nothing could be further from the truth. New names with new packaging, but its contents are just as deadly, just as poison, and still have the same result. We need to call sin by what it is. Let me give you just a few examples. Homosexuality is a sin. It is not an alternate lifestyle. Adultery and fornication is not a midlife crisis. It is sin. Abortion is not a question about a woman's right over her body. It is murder. Everything is not sickness or disease and can be explained away as beyond our ability to stop it. Sin is universal. It affects all people, all sizes, all shapes, male, female, bond or free, young, old, middle aged. It is a universal problem. It knows no bounds. It knows no limitations. It is everywhere and it affects everyone. No technology, no human accomplishment, no military power or wisdom of mankind can stop its march against man's destruction. That is its aim, that is its purpose, that is what it's seeking to do. We need to see this foe in all of its ugliness and all of its destructive ability that it uses to seek to destroy us. Why? So we can fight a successful warfare and we can overcome it and defeat it. Remember, if we're ignorant of our enemy's devices, if we're ignorant of Satan's devices, he will get an advantage over us, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. We must know who the enemy is, know how he works, know the method that he will use, know how he packages it, what it looks like, what it can do. In this way, we can defeat it before it defeats us. And so we want to begin this series of lessons by giving you some points concerning about what sin is. Sadly, sin is almost forgotten in our society today. Liberals would have you believe that we cannot even identify it. Sin just is hard to identify. Nothing, again, could be further from the truth. However, the Bible plainly teaches that there is a real thing and it is a reality that sin does exist. It didn't exist in the beginning until man fell by transgression. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 to 17, God told Adam and Eve that they could eat of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were told not to eat of that tree, but in the day that they would eat of it, they would surely die. There was a consequence. If they disobeyed God, there was going to be a consequence, and it was going to be swift, and it was going to be a penalty that would be terrible. And so they had a choice to make. In Genesis chapter 3, that choice came to the forefront in the form of a serpent. And the serpent tempted Eve and asked her what God had told her. And she verbatim told the serpent exactly what God had told her. And she resisted. But the devil added one little word to what God had said. You will not die. You won't die. God knows that in the day that you eat of that tree, you'll know that be able to discern between good and evil. And so she fell into sin. She gave in, and she gave to Adam, and he ate. But we see in Genesis chapter 3, when men fell into sin, that God pronounced punishment. He punished the man, the woman, and the serpent. All three were punished, and all three suffered the consequences of sin. Why? Because all three were guilty. Man was sent from the presence of God in Genesis chapter 3, and verse 24, now sin is a reality, and everything in this life will be different because of this thing called sin. Next, sin is a treacherous problem for all of mankind. Every problem in the world, every adversity, every terrible thing you can think of, every disease, every sickness, every heartache, every disease is indirectly or directly related to sin. We see that in Genesis 3, when the consequence of sin passed to all mankind. We're going to die physically. That's one of the consequences of sin. Romans 5 and verse 23. The Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 23 that all sin and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible also says if we say that we have no sin, we're a liar and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1 and verse 8. Aging and death are the result from sin entering the world. Read 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23. All of life's suffering, its pain, its misery, and unhappiness can be traced back to this thing called sin. In James chapter 1, in the book of James chapter 1, we want to read verse 13 through 17. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. I want you to remember this little quote. Desire equals opportunity equals action. And when that desire and that action is joined together to transgress God's will, it gives you DOA, dead on arrival. You are dead in sin. Read Ephesians 2, verse number 1. Desire, opportunity, and action leads to death. Dead on arrival. We will conclude here this morning. We hope you'll tune in again next Lord's Day as we continue looking at this master that seeks to gain advantage over us, sin.